So I'm just going to kind of walk through this and trust the Holy Spirit to pinpoint, as I wander this morning through it, and trust the Holy Spirit to just talk about the things that possibly that we today, we need. And the Lord knows that. God knows where you are. He knows where you're walking with your family. Now, Elaine cast all the devils out of us last week. So we're all right. She told me she did. But y'all let a bunch of them come home with her. I mean, no, that's not what I meant. But a great message she preached last Sunday about fighting back the enemy. And so I'm just going to talk about some areas today. Now, some of these areas I would really want to stop on, but I'm just going to mention them because I'm probably going to touch on them as we walk on through these other points. But I'm going to spend today and tonight, and I want to really encourage you that if you are fighting for your family, if there's struggles going on for your family, Karina, I didn't even see you and that Lonnie back there. I was trying to find you there. Why'd I go there? If there's struggles going on in your family, get help. Everybody say, I will, Pastor. You make sure you get help. Because your family is the most important thing you'll ever fight for. So you make sure that you get help. The Bible says the multitude's counsels are safety. There are some people that just know more than you do. And there's people that know more than I do. We've got to know that. So if you're in a struggle, if you're in a battle, if you're in a fight for your family, then you make sure that you get help. I was telling them in the early service, you know, I don't care if I drive 2 hours. If I can hear a message or hear a teacher or hear something that will help my marriage. Lord knows I need a lot of help with Elaine, y'all. So, but if I would drive 2 hours, it would be well worth it. Amen. It'd be well worth it. So anything you could get, because if your family don't make it, you don't make it, honey. You really don't. And you must make it. And your family has got to make it. In fact, it's a prerequisite for leadership in ministry. It is. It is a prerequisite for leadership in ministry is for you to be able to lead or to guide or work with a home moving forward. So you really, this is important. The issue is a family. Now, I know that we love to talk about all the other issues. We love to talk about power and authority and all those things. But at the same time, family is of utmost importance that we gain information how we can do it better. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about how we can do it better this month. I'm talking about spiritually. Now, usually we talk about communication skills, and usually we talk about the greatest needs that you have. But I felt this year that the Holy Spirit really wanted us to talk about what you could do spiritually to help your family. And so I've just got a lot of things just wound in here. But I believe that one of these, or at least one of these, is for you and for your family. Something that you can do, something that you can put into practice, some way you can allow Jesus to be more Lord in your situation to bring about the needed change. Now, first thing I do want to mention is if you have some baggage in your past, make sure it gets taken care of. Amen. I mean, if you have divorces in your past, let me tell you something. I've never been divorced, but I've committed things that I was so ashamed of, and I had to get forgiveness. If you have things in your past that you need forgiveness for, you make sure you just don't sweep them under the rug. You make sure that you deal with those things and you deal with those things in a real manner. I mean, you probably really need to take a season. If there's a real brokenness in your past, you probably really need to take a season and really deal with that. Allow God to embrace you, forgive you, heal you, and bring you over that. It's not fair to make your mate live with the baggage of your past. What is fair is for you to carry it to Jesus and let Jesus take care of it for you. Amen? So that's very fair. So I want to encourage you. And there's all other issues. And let me just mention this. There's only two. I mean, you can argue about it all you want to. You can say, I got a divorce for this, I got a divorce for that. But there's only two reasons. Now, during the years I've pastored here, I've heard a lot of reasons. Let me say this. Never, ever enter into a decision like that by yourself. You need a pastor. If ever you needed a pastor, if you enter into any situation where you think about that would be possibly coming up or anything, then you need to go in, and your pastors, we need to help you. Because God has equipped pastors to help you walk through this thing spiritually. But one thing for sure, there's only two biblical reasons for divorce. And one is if your mate has been unfaithful to you. Now, the other one is desertion. One thing, that's a harder one to deal with. Because, see, some people sit across the table from somebody and say, he deserted me. He quit talking to me. That's not what the Bible's talking about. You understand? But if you were the point of failure, then you just go to Jesus. Let Jesus clean you up. And then you'll be ready for a good future. If you've made mistakes and failures in the past, if you was the one that the damage was done to, then your heart needs to be healed. And don't make the marriage you have now to try to deal with baggage that only God can heal. And the Lord can take care of it. Amen. All right. And so that's very important. So if you're at all ever, never mention it. You need to make a practice in your home. You need to put down a law. If divorce is ever mentioned, we're going to see pastor. That'll shut somebody up, won't it? Yeah. Need to make that decision. If ever divorce is mentioned, we're going to go see pastor. If ever divorce is mentioned, you grab her by the hand, we're going to go see pastor. Or vice versa. Because you don't need to make decisions. You sure don't need to be threatening things like that. And you sure never need to make a decision about anything like that on your own. You need help. Amen? All right, and see, then there's a lot of other things that just get. It's where we take like the intimacy in our life. God gives intimacy in marriage. And we begin to use that as a wedge or a manipulation factor in our life. And if that's you, quit it. Just stop it. It's too holy and it's too precious for you to take your body and use it as some type of manipulation to try to get more out of your husband or more out of your wife. It's wrong. It should never be done that way. In fact, either you're going to submit to the Lord or either not. The wife, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. But, ooh, and likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. God asks you to trust him in that arena. In fact, the Bible only gives you one reason to come out of a time of intimacy. And the reason is that if you're drawn to the Lord in fasting and prayer. So you've just got to come to terms. I'm going to live it God's way or I'm not. You know, honey. And if you're going to be submitted to God, then you're going to have to yield your life to God and trust him. And I tell you, that is our problem. Our problem is not yielding our life to God. Our problem is trusting him. And so we keep all of these areas of our life that we use as strategies and tactics and things that we try to do. Another area is anger. The Bible says if you are using anger to try to control your family, you are giving the devil a seat in your house. You're giving the devil a place in your house. If you're allowing anger to extend further than the evening, if you're allowing anger to go into the evening, you are giving the devil a strategy, a place in your house. You've just got to make a decision. When I was a child, man, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to grow up in this thing. I'm going to start doing things right through the Lord's power and through his grace. Amen? So if you're using anger in your life or in your marriage in some way, maybe you try to control your kids with that anger. You're doing great damage to them because God will never, ever have control in their life through anger. God will control people through, or he'll have influence into people's lives through his love and his mercy. So if you're trying to train up children operating under anger, I want you to know you're expelling them from God's kingdom. You're moving them out. You're destroying their relationship with God. Because eventually they are to take the authority that you have in their life and they're to give that unto the Father. And when they do, they won't know that Father. And so what you've got to determine, I'm going to quit using these strategies and tactics. Okay, so what we're talking about? Spiritual things I can do. I just wanted to bring those three things up to tell you we all got something to pray about. All right? All right, we all got something to pray. I just wanted to mention those three areas right at the very first. That's not what I'm preaching on. But I wanted to mention those three areas because we all got something to pray about. Man, every one of us have issues there that we need to deal with. And let's don't sweep it under the rug. Let's pull it out and say, God, I want you to deal with it. I want to be wide open with Jesus. And I want God, just right now. How many of you right there said, you know, I got problems. I know I got problems and I'm bringing it into my home and I need healing. Why don't you just stand right where you are? Would you do that just very quickly? We'll just stop right here in the middle. We'll just receive healing from the Lord. See, I got problems right now. I bring it into my home and I'm going to receive healing from the Lord. Praise God. This is beautiful. The Lord loves this. The sense of confession of our faults one to another. The Bible says the response from God is to heal it. Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we didn't get ourselves into this mess alone. There was a devil that hated you and hated us. And he was trying to drive us away from you and drive us away from each other. But Lord, in Jesus' name, I need your work in my life. And Lord, the Bible says at the very beginning of the book of Revelation that if I would open my heart's door, that you would come in and you would work with me. Lord, I'm opening the door right now to you. Work with me, Lord. Work with me. I didn't make myself like this, and I can't get myself out of this. Help me, God. In Jesus' name. Now you stay right there just for a moment until you sense the Lord's response in some way back to you. Because it's not me and God for you, it's you and God. Do you sense the Lord's response in some way? Sometimes I can just sense the Lord just reach down and hug me. And sometimes He just gives me a knowing that He's going to help me. But you just let the Lord. Lord, I thank you for healing us, helping us. Lord, the door is open to you, to your power. Our door is open to you, Lord. Heal me, and I will be healed. Help me, and I will be helped. Change me, and I will be changed, God. Do a work in me, Lord. Do a work in me. Do a work in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Spiritual things that I can do. The Bible says, Psalms 127, just a classic verse there. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain to try to build it. That means I can find all the self-help magazines I can find, and I can do all that I can do. But if I'm trying to build my house without God's empowerment, the Bible says it'll be in vain. I can't do this without God. You just got to know this. And God will not do it without you. He loves us. He loves to work with us. He loves to work in us. Now, you know, that's the precious family that we want. But so many times, this is the one that it is. And the very first thing I can do spiritually to fight for my family, the very first thing I can do, I can pray for God to open my spiritual eyes. I can pray that God would open my spiritual eyes. Amen. The truth of the matter is, I've got to begin to see it like Jesus. Because if I can only see her as the problem, I can only see him as the problem, I can only see them as the problem. The truth of the matter, I've got to have different eyes. If I continue this flesh battle, if I continue to fight this the way I fight it, I know I'm going to have no wins under my belt. But if I can begin to see it differently, if I can begin to see it like Jesus sees it. In fact, you know, and we complicate that. Jesus just said, I mean, the Bible makes it so simple. We try to even complicate miracles, don't we? when the Lord just really, God doesn't want the complication, the simplicity. Through a little simple prayer, Lord, open up my eyes. Now, this is what Elisha prayed, a little simple prayer, a little short prayer, evidently, but a prayer of faith and confidence. Lord, open up my eyes. And so I believe that's where the Lord, that the very first thing that God, that we can do spiritually to help our families is to begin to open up our eyes and allow the God, everybody say, allow the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of my heart, to help me see differently than what I have been seeing. And the Bible tells us the rewards of that, doesn't it? It says, well, I don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal, aren't they? Amen. I've just got to know, there is a deeper root to whatever I'm experiencing. And if I'm going to spend all of my time just trying to cut off branches, I'm really not going to really be able to help this situation. If I'm going to be able to help this situation, I've got to get from pruning to digging. I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to open up my eyes to where I can begin to see some roots that's really causing the difficulties that I'm facing. Other than her, or other than him, or other than them, I've got to begin to see a deeper root, a deeper work at work. Really and truly, there is a root system that God gives us and everything in earth to just be a physical representation of what our spiritual life is. There is more underground in you than there is on top of the ground. And the problem is, we can decorate what's on top, but we can't decorate what's underground. But what's underground is going to give life to what's on top. So I must allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to open up eyes. Not here. I see fine here. But I must allow the Holy Spirit to open up my eyes here, that I can begin to see my family with the heart of the Lord. So Lily, I just need to see through the eyes of Jesus, don't I? Praise God. Now, if I look here, I want to just uncover it all. I want to confront every issue. I want to deal with it plainly. But that's not the way God deals with it, is it? In fact, the first episode, a real failure with Adam and Eve, the Lord says, I'm not going to expose your nakedness. He said, I'm going to cover your nakedness, so he could eventually heal that nakedness. The problem is, the people that we're married to are hurting. I got another story for you. The people they're married to are hurting too. We're all hurting. And so what we do in the midst of difficulties, the enemy tries to make sure of that. We continue to put our finger, pointing finger, in the wounds of some deep, deep hurts. Because we think if you can just understand it, you can fix it. But I'll be honest with you. If any of us could fix it, we would have already fixed it. Do you understand? It's not because I don't want it fixed. I may not let you know that. I may keep you from even seeing it. I may get mad at you if you ever mention it. But the truth of the matter is, I'm down inside here and I'm hurting and I want it healed. And so the Lord says, let me show you how to do that. And so God says, I'm not going to expose this thing. I'm going to cover it. I'm going to give you a covering. But the Lord said, knowing that one day that covering is going to be removed and a healing is going to come. And that's what Jesus' life is all about, isn't it? That's what the cross is all about. That's the Lord coming to deal with something that he had covered. Because, see, God knows what each one of us can deal with at any particular time. The problem is, we try to choose our time. But we've just got to back out of this picture, and we've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in my life. And the truth of the matter, sometimes I'm going to think it's too slow, sometimes I'm going to think it's too fast. But I'm going to have to come to a place of really trusting God. For God to heal me, for God to heal us, and for God to make us what God called us to be. Amen? All right, we're just going to talk. I want to cover real quick and just talk about some of the coverings that we use. I just got to realize there's some lies I've got to come out of. The enemy's hold on me is his lies. Jesus said his whole kingdom is established on lies. And he's the father of that kingdom. Jesus said, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom, Jesus said, is established on truth. And you shall know the truth. And what will that truth do? And so God has a kingdom of truth being known. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of our lives is to come and help to expose to us the lies that we have leaned on all these years. The problem is we don't know there's lies. But the truth of the matter is we pick fruit off of those lies all the time. How do you know the lies are there? We know the lies are there by the fruit that we pick. I dare say this. Any moment in my life that I'm discouraged, despondent, downcast, angry, mad, worried, or sad, that exposes that I believe a lie. Now, I can believe a lie out of three different areas. The first way is I believe lies about me. Because, and during the process of the numbers of years, I've watched God, and you have too. We've watched God begin to eradicate lies out of all of their lives, out of all of our lives. There was a point in time that the major foothold of my lie was that I wasn't worth being loved. The devil, in some way, I don't understand it either. Some way he had convinced me of that lie so deep-seated inside me that I'd never really thought that particular lie, but all the fruit that I picked off my life exposed that. So the Lord says, just begin to look at the fruit of your life. The Lord says, I didn't give you that sadness. God said, that's not the fruit of truth. The fruit that comes out of truth that God gives us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. But what's the fruit of believing a lie? The fightings, the wars that we go through is all expressions of the lies that we have believed. Number one, about ourselves. Number two, about others. And there's no way you can love anyone unless you're going to change your thinking about that person. What we do all the time, we're all the time working with actions instead of realizing the actions is only a fruit of something that's much deeper than that action. If you're going to love somebody, if you're going to make a determination and follow the command of the Lord to love, I'm going to have to make some decisions. I'm going to have to begin to think differently about you. I'm going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to influence the way I think about you. I've watched people do that. I mean, the opposite of that. I've watched me do that. Now, if she wasn't here, I'd tell you I've watched her do that, but I won't tell you that now. But I've watched me do that. I've watched me try to control an action in my flesh, try so hard to control it with the flesh power I had, not realizing all the time that God had a much easier, somebody say a much easier way of going. That if I could allow the power of His grace and the power of His Holy Spirit to work in me. And the Holy Spirit is so wonderful because the Holy Spirit goes right past every wall you've built up. The Holy Spirit penetrates right past every wall and He begins to nudge you and He begins to say, why are you thinking that about her? Why are you thinking that way about him? And all of a sudden, we sense the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it conviction. And all of a sudden, there comes a conviction in our life. God is trying to sanctify, work me toward a point of coming to look more like Him, that I can bring glory to Him in a greater way. And so God brings conviction into my life. But now, we know what we've mostly done with those kind of convictions. With those kind of convictions, we beat them down so many times, not listened to them, allowed angers and frustration and worries to rise up above those convictions to where sometimes those convictions has almost grown to a faint little whisper. But they're still there. The Lord said, you shouldn't think that about them. You should not think. You would never love them unless you control your thoughts about them. Because the third is the greatest lie of all. The third is believing lies about God. Now, a Pentecostal believer, if I say you believe a lie about God, we'll be the first one. Oh, where's the boxing gloves? Man, I'll show you. When the truth of the matter is, the lies about God are deep-seated, deepest problems that any of us have. Because, see, every time that I allow worry to overtake in my life, that's because I believed a lie about God. I've allowed the enemy to convince me that I can't trust God walking through this situation. I may have just walked through a situation where I was trusting God, but I cannot trust God at this situation. And the way I know that lie is there, because the devil is really good at hiding his lies. He buries his lies so deep inside of us to where that, and they have been there for so long, embedded in so deep in us, that where we hardly, we call that normal. But the Holy Spirit says it's not normal. And the Holy Spirit says you're not trusting God. And the truth of the matter, anytime I experience fear, that I become afraid through that cringing kind of fear, that kind of fear, the Bible says that God said, I didn't give you that spirit. I didn't give you that spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of a power, love, and of sound mind. So God says, that fear that you're experiencing, is so, you're not trusting me. You're believing a lie about me. The devil has convinced you I can't heal your marriage. The devil has convinced you I can't take care of those kids. The devil has convinced you that she can't change. The devil has convinced you that God cannot change you. Somewhere you believed a lie about the devil and or a lie about God. And because you believe that lie about God, now it's bringing fruit in your life. I'm here to tell you, you can try to chop down worry all you want to, honey. But until you deal with the truth of the matter is, I'm just not trusting God. But when you would allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that and allow the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, I'm not trusting you or I wouldn't be worrying. I'm evidently not trusting you or I wouldn't be in fear. I'm evidently not trusting you or I would not be in anger like a man. I would not be experiencing this if I did trust you. God, help me to learn to trust you. Help me. See, the truth of the matter is each one of us in our lives have in direct proportion to the bigness, the greatness, the wonderfulness that we see God. So if God's not doing great things for us or in us or with us, if there's not some measure of God's greatness being revealed in our life, the truth of the matter is I've let the devil convince me that that God is so small that he can't help me. I'm here to confront that issue this morning with the devil. I'm here to tell the devil that God is big enough and strong enough and mighty enough. There's not a family that God can't change. There's not a husband that God can't turn around. There's not a wife that God can't melt her heart. And there's not kids that God can't corral. God can do anything. So anything that the devil's tried to convince you of other than that is a lie out of the pit of hell. And some of you right now, you know that you believed a lie. I want you to just jump up to your feet and we're going to confront that thing in the name of Jesus. Come on, send it right now. You that realize, man, there's lies that I've believed about God and that I've allowed worry and fear, and in the name of Jesus, I don't have to put up with that. Do you know the very reason that God has put us here? By you having a physical body, God's given you an authority on this earth. The devil's trying to convince you that this earth belongs to him. It doesn't belong to him. Your life doesn't belong to him. Your marriage doesn't belong to him. Amen. Your kids doesn't belong to him. The truth of the matter is he is a spirit and he's trying to occupy space through you. You're the one that was born. Jesus had to come and be born here. He had authority. He had to come be born here. And now we are God's representation of his authority on this earth. So in the name of Jesus, come on, say it with me out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus, I'm tired, devil, of you putting lies in my life. I'm tired of the fruit of all of these lies that you put there. So in the name of Jesus, I rise up in the authority that Christ has given to me. I break your power, devil. I command you to loose your hold off of my life. Loose me. Loose my family. Loose my kids. You get away in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Now rejoice in it a moment. Give the devil a real fit. Now as you sit down, I'm going to show you three hand signals that's mighty important to God this year. Three hand signals. Now two of them are common hand signals, but there's a third hand signal. Now if we were on the football field, if we were on the basketball court, the referee's hand signals would have great, great meaning. So I want you to know something. Your signals mean a lot in heaven. The first signal I want to mention to you is the signal of surrender. You need to do that every day in your life. There's not any way you can handle this by yourself. You need to learn the signal of surrender. And every day in your life, you need to surrender yourself to the Lord. Say, God, I give up. I'm yours. I give up, God. I'm yours. I give up, God. I'm yours. I give up, God. I'm yours. I give up. I'm God. I'm yours. You need to learn the value and the power that comes in the midst of surrender. Then you need to learn the signal of receiving, of reception. Because, see, God needs to be able to put his power in you to be able to bring the change about that needs to be brought. I said it earlier. If you could change it, you would have already changed it. If you could fix it, you would have already fixed it. God's brought you to this place to desperately need him. And it's just a little simple sign of grace. God, I need your grace. I go from the point of, Lord, I surrender to you. I love you. I need your power. It's a hand signal of grace of God. Because, see, grace of God is not just eyeglasses that God puts on when he looks at you. The grace of God is the empowerment of God. The Bible says that through the grace of God, our weaknesses become strong. I don't understand how that's the miraculous. I can't understand how God does that, but he does that. If I will allow God, he will pour his grace into the weaknesses in my life. And my weaknesses will become strong through his strength, that he may always receive the glory. So we need to understand that every day in my life, not only do I need to surrender, I also need the second hand signal, I also need to receive. Sometimes I'm out walking across a parking lot. A lot of times I'm out even maybe at a mall. And it becomes evident in my life at that moment, I need the grace of God. Maybe the enemy's just put something in my mind, or maybe a fear has tried to arise. So I just use usually that little gesture. First thing I do, I act like every good Pentecostal. I look around, make sure nobody's looking. And I say, Lord, I receive your grace. Now, the wonderful thing about receiving the grace of God, you have to do it by faith. Because every gift of God is given by faith. Lord, by faith. There's a sense of that. There's a sense of reality. There's a sense of strength. There's a sense of power. There's a sense of empowerment that comes at those moments that faith is released. The moment you release faith in a God that's able to do anything, that the devil's tried to convince you that he can't do anything, but the very moment that you release that faith in that, there is an immediate response in God. And the Lord gives you his grace. Now, the Word of God will give you the authority of God. So it's real important that you continue in the Word every day of your life. Because without the Word, you won't have authority. But without an encounter, you won't have the power. On one hand, we need desperately the Word of God. On the very other hand, we need an encounter with the presence of God. because it's the power that we need also. God is willing to empower us, to help us, to change us, to turn it around. You don't have to wonder whether God is willing. Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all that was, what's the word? Oppressed of the devil. So whatever your oppression is, last Wednesday night, Crystal ministered on freedom ministry at El Dorado. And darling, it was the sweetest expression of oppression. Because when you look up the word oppression, it takes so many words to bring about its meaning. It means vexed. It means tormented. It means pushed down. Paralyzed. I mean, all of that has to do with it because it's all of that thing. She said, "Is his foot on your head pushing you down, not letting you move?" Jesus said, "I've come to heal all of that." Whatever it is that's pushing you down, that's trying to keep you from moving, Jesus says, "I've come to heal that." So an encounter with the presence of God, the empowerment of the Lord. You need to expect that in your life. Don't expect God to just give you instruction. We're just not an educated church. You understand? That's not all. He wants our minds renewed, certainly. But that's not all we are. We're a church that's empowered through experience and encountering God. So you allow the Lord to have those moments of empowerment. By first, there'll be witness to you, Lord, I can't forgive her. She said that just too many times. God says, "You let me do it through you?" "Yes, Lord. I'll let you empower me. Lord, I can't shut my mouth. I've tried to, and he just angers me. I just can't shut my mouth." God says, "Will you let me do it? Will you let me do it? Will you let me do it? Lord, I thought ill of her for so long. I can't make my mind think anything else." God says, "Will you let me do it? Will you let me do it? Will you let me do it?" So we learn this wonderful little gesture, or whatever it is, a sense of faith, to release our faith, to say, "God, I receive your grace. I receive your power in this moment to empower my weakness, to make me strong." Amen. Then there's the third hand signal that we need to go. The third hand signal is this. You must tell the devil no. I saw a picture the other day, and I know when I saw that picture, I said, "That's it. That's the picture that's been in my mind ever since for the last many months." And had this woman stand there with a big old hand out in front with the words "no" written on it. I said, "Wow, that's it." See, because truly, the devil doesn't have authority over you. The truth of the matter is, he only tries to deceive you and influence you. But you have the authority of Christ to say, "Devil, no more. No more. No more lying to me about her. No more lying to me about him. No more putting worry in my mind about them. No more. No more, devil. No more." Now, the wonderful thing about it, the Bible says that if I will resist the devil with that, that God adds his empowerment to that. Amen. Resist the devil. And what does the next part say? He flees. Now, it gives me another direction to that. And that is, submit myself to God and resist the devil. So, I surrender, Lord. I can't do it. Your power, Lord. Devil, I don't have to put up with you anymore. You can't have my family. You can't have my kids. You can't have my happiness. You can't have my joy. You cannot take from me any longer. In the name of Jesus, devil, read my lips. No. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord wants to empower us. Now the Bible says, submit myself to God and resist the devil. So I have a twofold responsibility. If I'm going to see God move and bring change, have a twofold responsibility. I'd be honest with you. I would just like to cast the devils out. The truth of the matter is, if I have not first submitted to God and filled myself up, the devils is just going to have another empty place to come into. Do you understand? So as I surrender to God, I say, Lord, what do you want me to think about her? What do you want me to think about her? It doesn't take the Lord very long because he's got lots of scriptures and he remembers them all. But he usually sends me fumbling. And so I go, love her. You love the church. Is that what you want me to think about her? Is that what you want me to think, Lord? Is that what you want me to think? You want me to think about how much I love her instead of how much I'm mad at her? You want me to think about how much I love her, how much I care about her? Is that what you want to fill myself up with, God? Submit to me. Lord, what does she need to think about me? If I'm going to think how much I love her, what is she going to think about me? Hallelujah. Submit to God. I respect him, Lord. You want me to respect him? Lord, he hasn't done anything respectful lately. I want you to trust me. This is a test of trust, not a test of eyesight. This is a test of trust. You want me to trust him, Lord? You know how many times he's hurt me? You know how many times he's been insensitive? You know how many times he hasn't listened? You know what a numbskull I married? Right? But I want you to submit to him. To lean upon him. Then the Lord comes back to me and the Lord fill myself up with light. Well, there's three things, Jerry, that's important that you do in her life. Lord, I'm surrendering to you, but I'd rather we get past this part and get on to the defeating the devil part. But the Lord said, you got to first submit to me. So, Jerry, there's three things that's important for you to do in her life. He said, the first one I told you, Jerry, is found in Ephesians chapter 5. I told you to nourish her. Lord, she don't want to grow. You don't know her. Jerry, I told you to nourish her. You allow me to use you to find a way for her to be nourished. And then, Jerry, I want you to cherish her. I not only want you to nourish her, I want you to cherish her. I want you to become a strength that she can lean her whole life on. Lord, she spends too much for me to lean on her, for her to lean on me. I want you to trust me, Jerry. want you to trust me. Jerry, this is a test of trust, not a test of past. Yes, Lord. Make me strong, Lord. I don't know if I can allow her whole self to rest upon me. God says, I'll strengthen you, Jerry. I'll help you. She'll be heavy, Lord. She's been gaining weight lately. Didn't mean that one. She knows that I love my baby. I just decided the bigger both of us are, the more there is to love. So as to it. So lean on my Lord. I submit to you, Lord. Lord, this is not what I want to be doing. I'd really rather be out there fishing. I'd really rather be out there doing some other things. Yeah, but Jerry, this is important to me. It's important that you love her like I love you. And so many people have no idea how much I love them. But they're going to see how much you love her. And they're going to know. They're going to have a sense, a taste of how much I love them. So, Lord, I got to think right about her. Then I got to find a way to help her grow. I don't like her style of music, but I've got to find a way. And I've got to be strong enough to let her lean every weakness, every problem on me. And then he said the third thing. This was in Ephesians chapter 5. You got to carefully protect her, Jerry. You've got to carefully protect her. And he said, know this, that the greatest amount of protection will always be to protect her from your flesh. You got to protect her from you. You've got to protect her from your criticism. You've got to protect her from your rash judgments. You've got to protect her. And then, Jerry, once you learn to protect her of you, I'll teach you how to protect her from the world. So, Lord, that's a big task. Yeah, but Jerry, it starts there. So it starts with me making myself think right about her. Number two, me finding a way to nourish her and quit tearing her down. The third thing is, I must find a way to be a support of every weakness that she has. I must find a way to support her and to hold her up in the midst of battle. And then the other thing, I must find a way to protect her from mostly me, but then from others too. So I must find a way to protect her and guard her. And I say, okay, Lord, let's get to casting out the devils. I'm tired of the surrendering and empowerment. And I say, Lord, is that fair? Is that fair? I have to do all those things. And what does she have to do? He said, I've made her quite a list too. And so then we can just look at that one little word, that word, that to honor. And really, that's what a wife is called to be. That's the greatest amount of any thought that you have as a wife that does not honor your husband is a thought of the enemy. Because God's called you to do something He would never tear down in you. He would never try to rob you from the very thing that He's given you the command to do. He's given the wife the command to honor your husband. Now, that word honor, to be honest with you, I got a little bothered about that. I thought I had three things to do and she only had one. And so I looked up that honor. My, if ever our wonderful ladies need empowerment of God, that God's called them to do an impossible task, is what God has asked out of your life. God has called you to honor your husband. That means reverence, venerate, esteem, appreciate, prize, love, admire, desire, and prefer him all the days of your life. And let me tell you what, ladies, you can't do that. But he can do that. He can do that. Can you say amen? Amen. He is the one that can do that. He is the one that can do that. He is the one, through his grace working in our lives, can empower us to be superhuman in those aspects. Because what he has called us to do is far beyond human. It's supernatural. But we're wanting God to give us something wonderful. And so God has called us to this place. Now God's given me, I got 4 minutes, so God's given me two different ways. Now God's given me one way, and God's given my wife one way. Because at times I say, Lord, I'm changing all I can change. Let me just see some change in her. How many guys know that helps? Can you imagine what she thinks? She thinks, Lord, I'm doing all this changing. Let me just see some change in him. That's why the same book, Ephesians chapter 5, going into Ephesians 6, tells you how. God has given the man this unique power and ability through simply taking God's word in and over their wife, their family, and through taking in prayer the word of God and applying that over your family. The Bible says they become cleansed and they become changed. That's the way Jesus changes us. We would love for the Lord to walk in here, wouldn't we? And say, straighten up, get your towel straight, get your shoes tied. But that's not the way the Lord does it. Right now in heaven, Jesus is praying for you and I. Because he is our husband. And he believes that as the Son of God is there in heaven, ever living to intercede for us, the Bible says. You know what? I'm changing all the time. How many of you found you're changing all the time? Because God in heaven is praying change into us all the time. At times he just simply takes that little word like you could take a washcloth, so to speak, and he begins to just wash me in prayer. I'm here all frustrated and all concerned about things and all situations going on. And the Lord says, I'm taking care of it, Jerry. I'm washing all that off of you. I'm washing all that worry off of you. I'm washing all that doubt off of you. I'm washing it all off of you, Jerry. Because I'm your husband. And I have a special place in prayer with God. And I pray for you, Jerry. And it brings change in you all the time. God says, Jerry, that's what I've given you to do for her. You can have faith in me to bring about any change that is needed. And I'm a God of heaven. There's nothing I can't do for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Lord, and Peter's a good one. You know, I told you, when he wrote 1 Peter, he'd been married 60 years. Johnny, you and him right at each other. After 60 years of marriage, this is what Peter said. He said, wives, I'll change him without a word from you. He says, he will behold your manner of life. And he will notice that quiet spirit, that spirit that's more concerned over the looks in here. Now, please do a little bit decorating out here, but do your main focus in here. And when he sees what a person you are in here, it says he will be won by the manner of life of their wife. Guys, we don't have a chance. All she has to do is act it, and all we have, and then God says, I will change you. There's something about a woman that has a spirit that loves God and more concerned over her heart toward God than she is anything else in all the world. There is something that is so miraculous about that. We want to open up all your doors. We want to take off our coats so you can walk down. There's something miraculous that happens to that. But you know what that miraculous is? That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're helping us, Lord, to pull down the lies in our life. Somebody here that just needs to make some things right with God. If you need to make some things right with God, raise your hands up toward the Lord right now. If you need to make some things right with God, say, Jerry, I've wandered and I need all right, come on, we're going to pray together. Pray this, but say, Father, in Jesus' name, I just confess my sin before you. And I just release that to you. And I receive by faith the wonderful grace of God and the blood that covers all of my sin. I thank you, Lord, that from this moment forward, my past is gone, my sin is gone, and you remember it no more. Thank you, Father, that I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Now then, we've kind of walked through the two steps there of making our declarations. Remember hand signals. Don't get that backwards. Don't get it backwards. Amen. Lord, forever change us. There's something Holy Spirit wants to do right now. God wants to bring a supernatural empowering. There's a husband here that has just tremendously been struggling. God wants to help you. There's probably two or three women here that's really been in the mode of discouragement. God says, you be encouraged. Quit listening to those lies. But let's just take our little antennas. Let's just see. Let's let the Lord have the last final word with us. Lord, is there anything by your Holy Spirit that you desire to speak to us, Lord? Have you heard something from the Lord or a nudge from the Lord? Just recognize. Always recognize His voice in your life. Have you heard something from the Lord? You know, sometimes it's what we don't hear. I didn't hear the Lord say, you're a no good, good for nothing. Amen. I didn't hear the Lord say, you're a numbskull that's going to never be anything. I didn't hear the Lord say, your family's not going to make it, you're going down. So if He didn't say that, then I know what He said. I know that He said, I can trust Him. And He'll bring us through. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.